you're new with us this morning, we have been walking through the Gospel of Luke in the bulk of our Sunday mornings together, as well as the book of Ecclesiastes. And our normal method is to walk through books of the Bible in expositional preaching. And this morning, we want to give our attention to a specific passage of Scripture, most centrally this verse right here, Acts 2:42. And we want to see a specific application to the life of our church. So we're going to be doing something slightly different this morning. Let's read Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we come before you, we have desperate need of your word to work in us and among us. And Lord, as your spirit is the one who brought us this word, and your spirit is the one who opens our eyes and opens our heart to receive this word, Lord, to give light and to bring life, we ask that he would do that work this morning. We ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to accompany this word, his word, and to accomplish its purposes amongst your people here at Cornerstone for our eternal joy and the everlasting glory of your great name, we pray. Amen. Well, 1 year ago, we began as a church under the call of all of the pastors, all of the elders here, to gather on Sunday afternoons at 4:30 for 1 hour of gathered prayer, 1 hour of corporate prayer. That was 1 year ago that we began that labor, that work together, as we began to express our dependence on God in prayer through that specific avenue as a church. And the call to the body was that we wanted, as a group, a plurality of elders, each one of us together, to call all of us to give ourselves to prayer. And so we called this body to gather at 4:30 for 1 hour of prayer each Lord's Day. And as I wrote an article for our newsletter that went in the boxes last week, I was reflecting on that and thought, I think that we need to hear again the call, not primarily from me, not primarily from your elders, but we need to hear the call from the Word of God to gathered prayer. Specifically, the call to be devoted to gathered prayer. And so this morning, that's what we want to do. We want the Word to call us to that task. We want the Word to call us to gather together for prayer. And so in one sense, the point of the message and the application of the message is just one simple thing. Come gather together for prayer at 4:30 on the Lord's Day, week in and week out. The call is for centrally the body of Christ here at Cornerstones, our membership. We as elders have a specific task to shepherd, to manage the household of God here at this place, which is Cornerstone Bible Church. We would love for anyone who's attending, even just for 1 week or for a period of time, all of you to come. But our intention is to lead this particular body towards that end and to have the Word of God lead us there. So the call is to be devoted to gathered prayer. What do we mean by devoted What do we mean by devoted? The word came in our text here this morning in Acts 2:42. We see that the church in Acts, as they gathered, they were devoted to some very specific and very central things. There's four things listed in our text: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And we want to give our attention to that devotion this morning. As the Word of God lays out for us the devotion of these brothers and sisters, this assembly of believers 2,000 years ago, we want to hear the call of the same Scripture, the call upon us, believers now here in 2019, this assembly of believers at Cornerstone Bible Church, to be devoted. Devoted. One dictionary referencing this passage, as well as the number of passages that connect this idea of devotion to the task of prayer, says that it contains the idea of persistence and commitment. Persistence and commitment. I think that an expression that we use that's helpful to capture the idea, we talk about someone giving themselves to something, giving themselves to a particular task, maybe giving themselves to a hobby, giving themselves to something that they enjoy doing. And that's what is the idea that's in this word here, devoted. When I say that I want us, that the Scripture calls us to be devoted to gathered prayer, it's calling us to a persistent commitment to a task. A persistent commitment to a task. To give ourselves to this thing. And we see that in the other aspects of the life of the church in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves, they gave themselves, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. And so that's the call. The call to Cornerstone Bible Church to be devoted to this particular means of gathering together for prayer Sunday afternoons for 1 hour, to continue steadfastly, to have a persevering commitment. And I'll say this right at the beginning, this time together under the Word of God would completely misfire if we had a 300% increase in the number of people sitting back there in the foyer this afternoon at 4:30, and then the next week it was all back to the same brothers and sisters who were there before that. Continue steadfastly. Persevering commitment. What I would love to see by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit as His Word works in us is a steady increase of devotion to gather for prayer in this church that looks like consistency in 3 months and in 9 months and in 3 years. So, why? Why should you care about that call? Why should you heed that call? Why should you gather for prayer together with this body at 4:30 on the Lord's Day afternoons? Why? It's a good question you should ask regularly. As we sit together under the Word of God, why? Why? Not because I said so, not because your elders said so. Because the Word of God leads us there. The first answer for why we should gather at 4:30 for prayer together is because this is the pattern of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, a small group of Christians, a small group of brothers and sisters, a small group of the disciples of the Lord Jesus gathered together in devotion to prayer as they waited upon a promise of their Savior who had come, who had done his work, who had risen again and then had ascended to the Father and told them that they were to wait for something. They were to wait until they would be clothed with power from on high that they might be his witnesses. They waited. Their Savior had gone, and yet he had told them that it was far better for him to go because they would receive the Comforter. They would receive the Holy Spirit. And as they waited, what do we find them doing? Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. In this utterly unique moment in the history of the church, something never to be repeated as it's laid out here, we see these men and women gathered and devoting themselves to prayer as they wait upon the promise of God. But we don't just see it one time. Here they wait upon the promise of God and they wait in prayer, and God sends the Spirit as he has promised. But that's not the only thing we see them waiting on God for. We see them looking for that 12th apostle, that man to replace Judas, just a few verses later. And they prayed together, it says in verse 24. Lord, who would you have to replace, to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place? So we walk through the pages of Acts. We come to Acts chapters 4 and 5, and we see that as the Holy Spirit has come, and as the disciples of Jesus are faithful in the proclamation of the gospel, they immediately face persecution. They're immediately told in no uncertain terms that they ought to stop this work of proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. And their response to persecution, their response to opposition is to gather together for prayer. Chapter 4. In verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends, reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them, and when they heard it, they lifted their voice together to God. When the church faces a problem, whether it's Jesus has gone and told them to wait, they give themselves to prayer. Whether it's opposition from the Jewish leaders in the early times of the proclamation of the gospel, they come and they give themselves to prayer. When Peter is thrown in prison in Acts chapter 12, what do we find? We find the church gathered together in prayer to call upon the Lord for the deliverance of their brother, for the deliverance of this apostle, this minister of the gospel, that the word might continue to go forth into the world. We see a consistent pattern of the church as the church, the assembly of God, assembling themselves for corporate prayer, for gathered prayer. But we don't just see it in the examples as we walk through the narrative of the book of Acts. We see it filtering throughout the letters of the Apostle Paul. If you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, you see often he recounts his own personal prayers for those to whom he writes. We're familiar with that. You think of in Ephesians chapter 1, and then again in Ephesians chapter 3, he recounts his personal prayers for the people of God. But when we turn to those same letters, we don't just find Paul in a solo way praying for the people to whom he writes. We see that Paul had the habit of praying corporately with other believers. The beginning of the book of Colossians and the book of 2 Thessalonians, what do we hear again and again? We pray. We pray. When we pray. Again and again in Paul's letters, we see that it's woven into the fabric of his life to pray together with other believers. So it's both the pattern of the church in Acts, and of course we could walk back to as throughout the whole of the scripture, and we could see the people of God gathering in specific ways to pray corporately. But it's also woven into the fabric of the letters of the New Testament as we see Paul again and again telling us, we pray for you. We pray for these things together. We can look to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ when he gives us that model of prayer and we see that the pronouns are plural. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We see this corporate nature of prayer woven into the fabric of the scriptures. From beginning to end, we see it in the model of the church as they're driven by many circumstances to come together to call upon the Lord to do what he has promised to do for them. So we observe the example. We observe the pattern even in Paul's own life. And then we should gather together for prayer, because prayer itself is necessary for us as the people of God. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is necessary because we are dependent people. We are dependent people. We're dependent simply by nature of being creatures in a created world. We have a creator. We are just fundamental at the base level of our existence, dependent upon the eternal God of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God, when he creates a people for himself in the work of redemption, God calls his people to be explicitly dependent upon him in every way by prayer. God calls his people to be explicitly dependent upon him in every way by prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, we as a body, as we seek to glorify God here at Cornerstone, we must express our dependence upon God together in prayer. Nothing that we want to see accomplished here at Cornerstone Bible Church and through the ministry of the brothers and sisters in this place and from here to the ends of the earth, nothing that we want to see accomplished here can happen in the power of you or I. Can happen in the power of a single human being. Nothing whatsoever. We are a dependent people. We must come to the Father, the giver of good gifts. We must come to the Father, the source of all things. We must come to him in the name of Jesus Christ to ask, because he tells us in his word that We have not because we ask not. We must come to God together in prayer because we are needy people. We cannot accomplish one single thing of eternal value as a body apart from God, and therefore we cannot accomplish anything apart from prayer. So, brothers and sisters, let us devote ourselves to gathered prayer, because prayer is necessary for everything that we want to see happen here. Do we want power and clarity in the pulpit here? Do we want power and clarity in our gathered worship on the Lord's day? Colossians 4:4 tells us that none other than the Apostle Paul relies on the prayers of the church for clarity in the proclamation of the Word of God. How much more do I, or does Chad, or does Brother Jeff, or Thomas even right now as he preaches, or any man who goes forth from here to proclaim the gospel of the living God in any place, at any time, for clarity and boldness, need the prayers of the church? Paul not only prays together with other believers himself, he calls the people of God, as the people of God, to pray together. Do we want to see new doors opened for the Word of God to go forth with power to new places and amongst new peoples? Colossians 4:3 tells us that this is a matter of prayer for the church. Paul says, you, Colossian church, pray that a door may be opened for the Word. We have to remember as we read the letters in the New Testament that they're first addressed to a gathered people before they're addressed to us as individuals. Most of the letters of the New Testament are first addressed to us as the gathered people of God before they're addressed to us as individuals. And we hear Paul calling the church as the church to pray for these things. Do we long to see the gospel advance more quickly in hard places? Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:1 that is a matter of prayer for the church. Pray that the word may speed ahead, Paul says. Pray it, and pray it together as the people of God. Do we long to see both little children and 87-year-olds come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, born again to a living hope by the Spirit of God? This is not something that we can do. We are called to pray as the people of God for these things. Do we long as a people to see the sanctifying power of the Word of God work in our lives through and through? Thorough reorienting, renewing, transforming work of the Word of God by the Spirit of God in lives here. Do you long for more conformity to Christ in your own life and for your brothers and sisters and for your children? We must give ourselves to pray. If Jesus thought that it was a matter of prayer, Father, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth, how much for us ought it to be a matter of prayer? Do we want to be a more holy people? We must want that. God commands us to be holy as he is holy. It will not come apart from prayer. Do we long to see the reviving work of the Spirit of God amongst us and amongst every people gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this city and in this province and in this country and on this planet. Psalm 85:6, will you not revive us again? Will you not revive us again? The history of God's exceptional working amongst his people to revive them, to renewed trust in Jesus Christ, transformation of life, boldness and proclamation of the gospel. The work of God in revival is not separable from the labor in prayer of his people. And that's not two different things. God works over here in exceptional revival, and then people work over here in prayer. No, when God intends to bring revival in his church, he first begins by reviving them to prayer as a people. Thanks, brother. He first begins in reviving them to prayer as a people. We see this commitment to prayer of the people of God in the book of Acts, but we remember that the history of God working with his people didn't end when the inspired recording of that history ended at the end of the book of Acts. The work of God in history continues to this very day, and when God has broken in to work in history in significant ways, he's first broken in to revive his people to prayer. He's first broken in to revive his people to prayer. In the late 1700s, a group of Baptist pastors began praying together, seeking the work of God in themselves, in their churches, and in the world. They began to pray together. They began to call churches to pray together. Some of them you would not know their names: Fuller, Sutcliffe, Ryland. I'm guessing no one knows those names. But there's one man there that you would know his name. His name was William Carey. And out of those brothers gathering together for prayer and beginning to call their churches to prayer, we have something of a glorious working of God, not just in that place, but we see the birth of the modern missions movement that resulted in Carey going to India and many, many, many going after him because of his example and through these prayers. We see what is called now historically the Second Evangelical Awakening, a revival period that lasted some 40 years, born out of a devotion to prayer that God worked in his people. And you want to know what's amazing about the way that God works in history? Those men began gathering for prayer because one of them got a copy of a treatise written by Jonathan Edwards, who had died some 30 years before, calling the Church of God to prayer. And Edwards had written that because he had heard a call to prayer by some Scottish brothers and sisters who had called their churches to prayer, and God had worked revival amongst his church in different ways, and we see this history of God working down through the ages, calling his people back to prayer as a people. Brothers and sisters, we must pray, and we must pray together. The pattern is clear throughout the scriptures. The calls are clear. Romans 12:12, be devoted to prayer. Colossians 4:2, be devoted to prayer. Ephesians 5:18. And we see God's work amongst his people. We see our desperate need for him to do this amongst us. So brothers and sisters, let's hear the call of God to us as Cornerstone Bible Church to gather for prayer, because he is able, he is sufficient. We are unable and we are insufficient. So let's come together and devote ourselves to prayer. As we close our time under the word this morning, I just want to address a couple of brief practical things, because I want to see every obstacle possible removed to this time that we're calling you together to pray. Just a couple of practical things related to the gathering of prayer. We understand that there are a whole group of people that we're calling to prayer, and you have all kinds of different things going on in your lives, and you have different schedules. And as we've reflected, we've sought to choose a time that would remove as many obstacles as possible, that would lead naturally to hospitality after the service, would give time for you to spend time with your family, to have lunch and visit with people, but then time to come and still keep maybe those supper appointments that you have. And so we want to call you to devote yourself to that time. I understand that you won't be able to come every week. Sometimes you might need to travel somewhere. I understand that. But I want us to all consider in our own lives, what are the obstacles that you've put in the way of coming? Is busyness an obstacle to you coming even this afternoon at 4:30? And I just want to say, I understand that we've got a lot going on. All right, last night we had the hog roast. Karen and I went home. We got the kids to bed. I spent a bit more time just preparing myself for this morning. Got up this morning at 6 o'clock. We came here so Kara could prepare to worship with these brothers, to lead the singing. And then we had our Sunday school. We have our service. After this time together, our community group's going to come over. We're going to hear from the Doles. We're going to gather together for the afternoon. Then we're going to come and gather for prayer. And then after that, we're going to go to Kara's parents for supper. All right, I understand that you're busy. It's okay, but you can still come to gathered prayer most of the time. And so I want to call you to that. Maybe you've never come and you're just saying, it's very uncomfortable for me. And I understand that. I do. But if you look in the Word of God where uncomfortableness is listed as something that gives an exception for things that God calls you to, you're going to be looking for a long time. You're going to be struggling to find that verse that says, do this unless it's kind of uncomfortable or a little bit difficult. You won't find those verses. So bring your uncomfortableness. No one's going to point to you and say, please stand up and pray now in front of all these people. Come and sit and listen. Some of you may be thinking, but sometimes it's just so hard for me to pray. Gather together. We're praying corporately. You might not be the one who's vocalizing the prayers, but you are praying together. We are with one voice calling out to God together to act, because he has promised to act. Calling out to God to act, because all of his promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, and it's by his work that we come. So come. I myself find myself sometimes so exhausted and discouraged on a Sunday afternoon, and I sit there. And sometimes I find that I'm not even able to pray, but I go out of that time with my soul strengthened and incredibly encouraged, because I hear my brothers and sisters calling out to our mighty God. Do we believe that he is a mighty fortress, as we sang here? Let's come to him as our fortress and let us find strength together. Let's pray. Father, would you cultivate here in each of our hearts the spirit of prayer, that we would grow in our devotion to prayer as a people here at Cornerstone, that we would be devoted to gather together for that hour on Sunday afternoons, Father. And oh, that we would be eager to see what you might be pleased to do as we simply come with empty hands, as we simply come with need, and we look to you and your abundant and infinite supply. Father, would you do this among us, I pray. Amen.